السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
تقریباً تین ہفتے پہلے جماعت احمدیہ یو کے نے برطانیہ میں جماعت کے 100 سال مکمل ہونے پر
approximately 3 weeks ago the Ahmadiyya Muslim Community United Kingdom held a function to commemorate its centenary here. Scholars and representatives of various religions were invited to speak about the concept of God based on the religious teachings and the respective sacred scriptures. And that why is God or the role of God needed in the 21st century? Indeed, it is evident that Islam was also going to be represented at this event, and I represented Islam. In addition, Judaism, Christianity, Hinduism, Buddhism, Druzi were all represented. They all outlined their various viewpoints. There were also representatives of Zoroastrianism and Sikhism, and there were people of different religions, including the Baha'i and others. Apart from this, there were politicians and human rights activists who were given the opportunity to opine their opinions. This function was held in one of the oldest, most traditional and largest buildings in London, which is called Guildhall. This building was constructed in 1429, or in accordance with other accounts, it was built even before this. It is said that this is one of the two oldest buildings in London. Nonetheless, this has a historical significance. This program has already been broadcast on MTA, and you would have already seen it. As far as the historical significance is concerned, I expect that in the reports that will be published in Al Fazl with respect to this, it will mention and cover this aspect. My purpose at this time is not to present the history. This was only a brief introduction. The actual purpose is to say some things with regard to the function itself. As I said, that this has already been shown on MTA. I expect that the Urdu translation of what the speaker said and also of my address has already been aired. I have not seen it myself. However, a request came from Pakistan that it would be more apt if details, or to some degree, I should cover this in my Friday sermon, in the same manner that I present and outline my tours. This is so that those who listen to it can understand it to a better degree, can better gauge its importance, and thus benefit from it. There are some programs on MTA that people do not even watch. Just here yesterday, I was seeing mentioned in a letter, somebody writing that in such and such newspaper, I read about the proceedings of this function, whereas in fact, this has already been shown on MTA. People listen more attentively to the Friday sermon, so I will briefly mention this. But it is more suitable that Ahmadis should watch this on MTA whenever it is broadcast, for this was a good and comprehensive function. At this time, I will present a gist or a brief summary of what the speaker said at the event. I will also outline a summary of what I said at the function. In addition, I will convey some of the comments and remarks of the guests who were in attendance at the event, so that the blessings, grace, and bounties of Allah the Almighty that are manifested by God can be shown, and so that the superiority of Islam and the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam being manifest to the world by virtue of the ardent devotee of the Holy Prophet can become known to the world and to us. In connection with this event, before I present the rest of the details, I will say that the UK Jamaat, who organized such a large and important function, did not publicize this function in the way that it should have been. In other words, before the event took place. They were merely content by the fact that a function was being held and such large numbers would attend, whereas in fact this was an opportunity that the Ahmadiyya Jamaat could be introduced on a very large scale and the beautiful teachings of Islam to the greatest degree be conveyed to people extensively. If there had been proper contact with the press, then the efforts that are now being made by Amir Sahib and his team by having news published regarding this event would have instead been published by the media themselves in a better manner. Today, the press is a great means of conveying our message. In most of the Jamaats in the world, work in this respect is not being carried out as it should be, and weaknesses are seen. There is now improvement in the USA for some period of time. With the grace of the Almighty Allah, they are carrying out good work. In Africa, in Ghana and Sierra Leone, good work is being performed. Further, in certain Francophone countries of Africa, attention is being given in this regard. Nonetheless, at every level, we should have contact and communication with the media. This is so that alongside this introduction or introducing the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat, the beautiful teachings of Islam can become known to the world, and that the pace of preaching also increases. This is also a great means of tabligh, of preaching. The Jamaats need to pay heed and give attention towards this. Now I will briefly relate some details with respect to the proceedings. Some of the speakers made excellent points. May Allah the Almighty make it so that whatever they said is the voice of their hearts and they actually come to act upon it. The first speaker was the chairman of the Hindu Council here in Britain, Umesh Chandra Sharma. He said that today's topic is very interesting. It means at least one thing is for sure, that all of us believe God exists. The other thing that is very clear is that all the political leadership and groups have failed to bring peace, harmony among the communities or in the world. You can see conflicts all over the place, and for one reason or the other, people do not believe the political leaders. This is the time when I think we have to come back to our faith for the sake of humanity. He then went on to say, the most important thing is that we should not merely counsel and advise our people, rather we should also present our practical examples. This is the reality. May Allah the Almighty enable for this speaker to also act upon whatever he has preached. Then the message of the Dalai Lama was read out by the Buddhist representative here in London on his behalf. He said that all religions teach the virtues of love, altruism, and patience. Therefore, even if they may hold different philosophical views, we should respect them all. Every religious tradition has made significant contribution to the humanity for centuries past. In the future too, such traditions can help us promote peace in our own respective communities and bring about harmony and understanding between the neighbors. The important thing is for all believers to put the teachings of their respective religious traditions into practice sincerely into the day-to-day life. What he has said is very fitting and true. He continues that conflict in the name of religion occurs when people fail to grasp true intent of the respective faith. We should encourage contact between the followers of different religions. This between the general public will develop respect for other religious traditions, and this in turn will promote harmony in society, so that peace in the society can become a reality. I give my wholehearted support to the Conference of World Religions being convened in London on 11th February 2014 by the Ahmadiyya Muslim Association, United Kingdom. I believe that meetings of this sort have a powerful symbolic effect. It is my prayers that fruits of your exchanging will be far-reaching and long-lasting. Most of the speakers have spoken very well and made points which are exactly the need of the time. The spiritual head of the Daruzi community, Sheikh Muwaffiq Tariq, said, "We have strong relations and close ties with all sects and religions in the Holy Land." Hazur said that this community is largely based in Palestine, Israel, and in fact also in Egypt. So he continues, "The Holy Land is the cradle of faith and the home and place of the spiritual journey of all the prophets." He then went on to say, "In the Holy Quran, Allah the Almighty states, 'We have created from a male and a female, and we have made you into clans and tribes that you may recognize one another. Verily, the most honorable among you is he who is the most righteous among you.'" Surely Allah is all-knowing, all-aware. Surat al-Hujurat, verse 14. He then said, "I am really grateful to His Holiness, the head of the worldwide Ahmadiyya community and its members, for this invitation, and I am congratulating you for this impressive conference of world religions, which is a part of the Ahmadiyya Muslims UK centenary celebrations. As the Daruzi community, we established very strong ties with the Ahmadiyya Muslim community in the Holy Land. We are delighted to have been invited by you. let us join our hands in denouncing violence and aggression in all its forms, and sow the seeds of love by developing peace not only in the East, but all over the world. An Archbishop of the Catholic Church, Kevin MacDonald, said the following: "I am both honored and grateful for the opportunity to speak on behalf of the Catholic Church at this Conference of World Religions. It is a sign of the times that a gathering like this should take place." He then read out a message from Cardinal Peter Turkson, President of the Pontifical Council for Peace and Justice, representing the Pope. His message read, "I am grateful for the opportunity to direct my prayerful greeting to the Centenary Conference of the Ahmadiyya Muslim Community, especially as representatives of different faiths, gathered to consider peace. The rabbi from Israel said the following: "We live in a society where materialism is seen as a positive value of the highest order, and where the gap between the haves and have-nots has reached terrifying proportions. In the name of progress and comfort, we are depleting the world of its natural resources, polluting our fresh water assets, destroying our forests, and I hardly need to continue this litany of ecological maladies. We live in a world riven with political and religious strife and turmoil. The name of God and his messengers are trampled underfoot in the name of rationalism and political convenience. We should all unite and work against this." May Allah the Almighty enable for his sentiments to be conveyed to the leaders of his country, and may the leaders of his country come to understand it. There were both speeches and messages from various political figures. The High Commissioner of Ghana read out a message from the President of Ghana. There was also a representative of the President present there. The message read that the event once again reminds us that God sent his beloved Prophet in this world, who gave their message to people of all races without discrimination, that mankind should live peacefully and in mutual harmony. He then wrote that a peace council has been established in Ghana, and the country has religious tolerance, which everyone has representation. Baroness Swasi, here from the UK, said, "It is an honor to speak before such an illustrious audience in such prestigious surroundings here at the Conference of World Religions. It is a testament to the openness and pragmatism and the humility of the Ahmadiyya community that your flagship global event today is not just about celebrating your own faith, but you are also celebrating all faiths. You only have to look around Britain to see the huge contribution the Ahmadiyya community is making in all walks of life, especially in relation to charity, and especially in relation to social action. It has clearly been an important moment for so many faiths to come up here and express their solidarity to each other, and their solidarity and commitment to interfaith work, and it has been a privilege for me to be a part of that. The Vice Chair of U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom, Dr. Katrina Lantos-Sweat, has very old links with the Ahmadiyya Jamaat. She said, "It is truly an honor and a privilege to be here with all of you this evening, as we celebrate the 100th anniversary of the presence of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community in the United Kingdom." Dr. Katrina came specially from the U.S. to attend. So she continues, "In a joyful celebration of tolerance and freedom, which is the hallmark of your community and its people. Simply stated, you, the Ahmadiyya community, are living proof that religion can indeed be a true friend of peace, understanding and liberty." A living proof that religion can indeed be a true friend of peace, understanding and liberty. Looking back at the 20th century, we also see something beautiful and precious. We see brave human beings imbued by the religious teachings, rising up and becoming a light in the darkness. She then provided certain examples in this regard. Nonetheless, in the end, she said, "Looking back at the 20th century, we see you, the Ahmadiyya community, standing not just for yourselves, but for all humanity against humanity's oppressors." Hazrat says here she is mistaken. This was not just from the 20th century, but from the very advent of the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat has spoken out against oppression and wrongdoing, and all of this is based on the teachings of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. So it is not the 20th century, but she should have said from the 19th century. So she continues, "Looking back at the 20th century, we see you, the Ahmadiyya community, standing not just for yourselves, but for all of humanity against humanity's oppressors. We, like you, stand for tolerance and freedom. We, like you, stand for a world where people of all backgrounds and beliefs can come together and learn from each other. To learn implies listening, and to listen implies respect and tolerance. I am grateful indeed that the Ahmadiyya community is about respect for our fellow human beings. We should all have freedom to practice our beliefs. When we share our thoughts and opinions, it should be based on equality, justice, and should be based on human values. May we redouble our efforts to do just that. May Allah the Almighty enable for the major powers to also to come to understand this." The Right Honourable Dominic Grieve, the Attorney General here in the UK, read out the Prime Minister's message. However, prior to the Prime Minister's message, he said in his own words that before reading this message, "I don't think I can think of a more apt location for this interfaith conference. Looking forward to the 21st century, that we should meet in a great hall of merchants, the very people who took Britain or England outwards towards the rest of the world and had the miraculous consequence of bringing all of you together in this place. As a person of Christian faith, it has always seemed to me that it is very much easier for somebody who has faith to understand people of other faiths than it is for those who have no faith at all." Hazrat says, may Allah the Almighty enable for what he said to be proved true. He then read out the message from the Prime Minister. "I send my sincere greetings to the Ahmadiyya Muslim community as you come together with faith around the world to unite for social and international peace. I recognize the great work you do here in Britain, from interfaith events across the country to helping communities who had been affected by the recent floods. Hazur says that with the grace of the Almighty Allah, Khuddam al-Ahmadiyya have done huge work in this respect. The message continues. Today highlights the significant work you do for interfaith relations and peace overseas. I am delighted that the British government is represented today. We join His Holiness and faith leaders around the world to discuss how faith can come together to help bring about peace. The Private Secretary of the Queen, who is the head of the Church of England, wrote, "The Queen was pleased to receive your kind message sent on behalf of the Ahmadiyya Muslim Association UK on the occasion of the Conference of World Religions being held today at Guildhall as part of your centenary celebrations. Her Majesty was interested to learn of the aims of the conference and appreciates your thoughtfulness in writing as you did. In return, the Queen sends her best wishes to you all for a most successful and memorable gathering." So these were some of the views expressed by the non-Ahmadis. I shall now present a summary of the address I delivered at the function. As I said, many people did not even watch the program, nor was this publicized well in the newspapers. I said that Allah the Almighty desired for mankind to reform, that man should fulfill both the rights of God and his creation. It is for this reason that Allah the Almighty has continually sent prophets. Those who accepted the prophet were successful. Those who did not accept the prophets invariably met a sorry fate. Those very people who denied God, who opposed the prophets and opposed the religion, who retorted that no punishment existed, these were mere fables. They were ultimately always destroyed. The Holy Quran recounts the incidents of such people in various places. The scriptures of other religions also mention such incidents of such people who rejected the chosen ones of God and were ultimately left ruined. So reading these accounts, we are forced to consider whether these are stories or just myths and fables. In fact, the history of religion proves that the answer to all these questions is most certainly yes. The holy scripture that I believe in is the Holy Quran. It clearly informs us that God Almighty sends His prophets with a mission to inculcate the very highest possible standards of spirituality in mankind by forming a close union with God. Through that union, man comes to fulfill not only the rights of God, but also by displaying the very highest moral standards, they are led to fulfilling the due rights of God's creation. I said that Allah the Almighty sent the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the reformation of the entire world. In his efforts to reform, he preached his divine message constantly and would strive endlessly, day and night. His efforts were not limited to preaching, but rather each and every night he would bow down before his Lord in prayer, weeping with such anguish and heartache that the place where he prostrated would become submerged in tears. The Holy Prophet's agony and anguish was so deep, and his state of anxiety and despair was so great, that Allah the Almighty addressed him directly, asking if he would grieve himself to death because they did not listen or heed his message. I then said that, however, God Almighty did not merely convey this message. God Almighty did not reject the acceptance of prayers. In fact, God blessed the prayers with acceptance. He alleviated him of his agony. He thus made those people rid themselves of all the evils and replace them with the most magnificent moral values instead. Those very people developed an unbreakable bond with God the Almighty. Never could any worldly power have brought about such a spiritual revolution. This was purely the act of God, who listens to prayers and has full control over the hearts of people. I then said that the sentiments of love in the hearts of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam towards even enemies were unparalleled anywhere else in the world. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forgave the ferocious and bitter foes upon the victory of Makkah as if they had never committed any wrongdoing. Every disbeliever was forgiven with the condition that they lived peacefully and were law-abiding. Seeing this compassionate and kind treatment, even the biggest disbelievers openly proclaimed that such sentiments could only be possessed by a true prophet of God. They said that most certainly Islam was a truthful religion. Thus they also came to believe. I then said that in the Holy Quran, Allah the Almighty has deemed the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a rahmatul lil alameen, the mercy of all mankind. Most certainly he displayed peerless compassion, love and sympathy. There are countless examples which prove the truthfulness of this word of God, that he was the mercy of all mankind. I then explained that despite the fact that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the mercy of all mankind, the allegation is placed upon Islam and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by the world today that they instigated war and aggression is as a result of being unfamiliar with the true historical facts. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never instigated war and aggression. When the bitter persecution in Makkah became unbearable, they migrated to Medina, but the Muslims never sought to seek revenge. However, the disbelievers attacked Medina in order to eliminate all the Muslims. Only then they responded according to the will of God, which is recorded in the Holy Quran. Here, I related these two verses of the Holy Quran, of Surah Al-Hajj.
أُذِنَ لِلَّذِينَ يُقَاتَلُونَ بِأَنَّهُمْ ظُلِمُوا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى نَصْرِهِمْ لَقَدِيرٌ الَّذِينَ أُخْرِجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍّ إِلَّا أَنْ يَقُولُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ وَلَوْلَا دَفْعُ اللَّهِ النَّاسَ بَعْضَهُمْ بَعْضًا لَّهُدِّمَتْ صَوَامِعُ وَبِيَعٌ وَصَلَوَاتٌ وَمَسَاجِدُ يُذْكَرُ فِيهَا اسْمُ اللَّهِ كَثِيرًا وَلَيَنْصُرَنَّ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَنْصُرُهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَقَوِيٌّ عَزِيزٌ.
Meaning, permission to fight is given to those against whom war is made, because they have been wronged, and Allah indeed has power to help them. Those who have been driven out of from their homes unjustly, only because they said, "Our Lord is Allah." And if Allah did not repel some men by means of others, they would surely have pulled down cloisters and churches and synagogues and mosques, wherein the name of Allah is oft commemorated. And Allah will surely help one who helps him. Allah is indeed powerful, mighty. I then elucidated that from these verses, the oppressed were given permission to self-defense. Further, they were given permission to fight in order to safeguard all religions. Further, it is Allah the Almighty's promise that as He is the possessor of all powers, He would help the weak Muslims against the powerful disbelievers. Despite all the might of the disbelievers and their weapons, would face defeat. Allah the Almighty, proving His existence, then did give success and triumph to the weak Muslims. the powerful and well-equipped army of the disbelievers were defeated by the Muslims. So therefore, the wars that the Holy Prophet ﷺ and his four rightly guided successors fought were to establish peace and to end cruelty, not to expand the kingdom and power. This is why they constantly enjoyed God's support, as Allah had promised. I then said that the state of Muslims being weak and becoming far removed from religion had been prophesied by the Holy Prophet ﷺ. If the Muslims are committing wrongdoing today or in a state of corruption and disorder, it is because this is exactly in accordance with the prophecy. I then said that this is not the ultimate state of the Muslims, that the Muslims would end here. I said that it is also my firm belief that just as there was a prophecy fulfilled of the Muslims becoming corrupted and being embroiled in disorder, the prophecy of the spiritual reformation of the Muslims would also be fulfilled, which was connected with the coming of the promised Messiah. I said that I and the Ahmadiyya Muslim community believe that the promised Messiah and Imam Mahdi came in the form of the founder of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community. He infused the true spirit of the teachings of Islam in his followers. He established a Jamaat, a community, who is practicing and strives to implement true Islam. I also said that the promised Messiah came to rejuvenate the true teachings of Islam. He had the help and succor of God with him. I presented three examples of prophecies. These relate to his truthfulness. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, said that earthquakes and other natural disasters would occur in great frequency. This was proved to be true. We observed that in comparison to the previous centuries, a far greater number of such calamities occurred in this century. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, then prophesied relating to the Tsar of Russia, who would be stripped of his title and reign. This prophecy also proved true. A third prophecy related to wars. And until now, we have already witnessed two world wars. The world is fast moving towards this fold. The defense and military budgets of countries are prioritized over other social welfare budgets and needs. There is more emphasis on increasing military power, on weapons, and becoming a military might by the world. Thus, it is the urgent need of the time that all people and nations pay heed to this once again. Disorder is not being spread in the world by religion, but it is actually being spread as a result of political games and ambitions. I further said that Allah the Almighty's help is present with the one He sent in this era. Without the help of God, a claimant from a small and remote village in India could not have spread his message all over the world. After the demise of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, the system of Khilafat was established, which is furthering this mission throughout the world. Where, on the one hand, this all proves the existence of God in this era, there, on the other hand, it shows that the Ahmadiyya Muslim community has been firmly blessed with divine help and support. I then said that the promised Messiah has given us the insight, perception and understanding that these are not old stories or myths of the past, but in fact God is an ever-living God who is alive today. He continues to speak to His righteous people and shows them true signs. So thus the world should pay attention to this, and instead of laying the blame for our mistakes upon God and upon religions, we should take a look in the mirror and assess our own shortcomings. May Allah the Almighty enable the world to act upon this. As I said, this is a summary of what I said to them. It was an address for approximately 30 or 35 minutes. I shall now also present some comments and viewpoints of the people. It was evident from the expressions on the faces of the audience that the brief exposition of Islam that I presented impacted and impressed them. Stein Willemstad, Secretary General of the European Council of Religious Leaders, said that to come together with people of different faiths and listening to each other with open-mindedness, and for everyone to acknowledge that we all wish for peace, is a great success and triumph. His Excellency Jocelyn Whiteman, High Commissioner for Grenada to the UK, said that it was a great and brilliant conference. It is a source of enhancement of faith that so many people belonging to different faiths could come together under one roof. Another benefit of this is that we gauge how to get people together to solve world problems. Mike Christie, a commander of the London Police, said that what he liked in today's function, that people of different religions spoke about the qualities of their respective faiths, and no one criticized each other. This is what fosters mutual harmony and understanding. This is what exactly the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, said should be done when he wrote to Queen Victoria. The member of the European Parliament, Charles Tannock, said, "There is no other choice but to adopt this way in the future. We all believe in God and cannot accept that God desires us to be in conflict and to fight with each other in the name of religion. Thus, I emphatically support this message of peace that the conference gave. What I respect amongst the Ahmadiyya community is the access of their faith, love for all, hatred for none. In my belief, this is a universal message. The more that these religions can unite and come together, the better it will be." Baroness Spirit, who is the chair of the All Parliamentary Group on International Religious Freedom, United Kingdom, said the following, "I have the honor of being the chairman of the All Parliamentary Group on International Religious Freedom. I am aware of how the Ahmadiyya Muslim community carries out work for other people's social welfare and charity. This was mentioned by the head of the Ahmadiyya community in his address. We are delighted that we cooperate with the Ahmadiyya community in this work. We are also delighted and happy by the fact that the Ahmadiyya community have complete freedom in this country." Kay Carter, member of the All Parliamentary Group on International Religious Freedom, said the following, "The head of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community said that all religions basically teach the fundamental principles of love, tolerance and peace. The media has presented religion with such a concept as a cause of mutual fighting, conflict and quarrel. However, today in this gathering, we saw the reality is completely the opposite." As part of the same message from the chief rabbi, he said, "The message of the Imam of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community is regarding peace and mutual understanding. All religions should exchange ideas and thoughts with each other because we are all the children of Adam, another creation of God the Almighty. We should respect and honor mutual sentiments and feelings and coexist in peace and harmony rather than in fighting and conflict. As far as possible, we should endeavor for peace." Hazur says that he is a rabbi. He should also explain this to the government of Israel, as I have said before. Santokh Singh is a counselor. He said that, "I believe that the head of the Ahmadiyya community is explaining to us that there are many similar teachings in all religions. All religions teach us to extend compassion to humanity. We should work together and in unity. We should strive for the betterment of each other." A member of a political party of Norway, Billy Tanger, that the Imam of the Ahmadiyya community at the conclusion of his address gave a very important message that we should all work together for the establishment of peace. "I believe that this is the act which is the most urgent need of the world at this time. We also greatly need this message in Norway." A professor from the University of Amsterdam, Dr. T. Sunir, said that the Imam of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community has mentioned in open and clear-cut words that the teachings of Islam and the Holy Quran emphasize peace rather than extremism.
Greek
from the Greek Orthodox Patriarch of Antioch, Father Ethelwine said the following: I have attended various functions of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community. With my heart, I appreciate the personality and message of His Holiness. As always, the best speech of this conference was that was delivered by the Khalifa of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community. Most certainly, to gather together people of different religions and to hear their religious teachings is a very brave, courageous, and respectable act. This is a great success. A guest from Ireland said that I attended this conference. The message that I have received here has shaken me. I will say to the Ahmadis that today, without publicity, it is very difficult to convey your message. The Ahmadiyya community is carrying out great work. However, I will be happy and content when you publicize your work in a better manner, because only very few people are acquainted and aware of what you do. Jahangir Saro Sahib, who is of the European Council of Religious Leaders, said that I am Zoroastrian by faith. I have been extremely impressed and affected by this conference. All speakers gave excellent speeches, but the speech of His Holiness was just brilliant. Robin Aziz, who is a teacher of religious studies, said the following: that I did not realize how infused with spirituality this conference was. I heard the message of many religions, and most certainly I will reflect upon the points mentioned. I hope that the transcript of the address delivered by the head of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community will be quickly published. Dr. Kane, who is linked to a church, said that some time back people started believing that there is no need for religion. I believe that it has been proven beyond doubt that this is completely and utterly baseless. Dr. Nidia said from the university in Belgium, there were two professors who attended from there. The address of the head of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community, which was based on Islam and the true teachings of Islam, we have been greatly impressed and impacted by it. After listening to this address, we have decided that at the university, we will give the Flemish translation of the Holy Quran to our students, so that they can read the Holy Quran and come to learn the true teachings of Islam. When they return, they gave the translation of the Holy Quran, which they are distributing in the university. So through this, new avenues of preaching have opened up. Santiago Cartial Rubio came from Spain. He is a professor of religion from Madrid University. He is the author of numerous books. He has close ties with the Jamaat. He was also present at the address I delivered at the European Parliament in 2010, where he met me. If I write my sentiments and viewpoints regarding this World Religious Conference, then the importance and significance of this conference and the importance of the message of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community would fill many pages. In the history of the world, different religions have been the source of conflict. To the extent that in the current era too, there are conflicts between different cultures, the East and the West, Islam and Christianity, developed and developing countries. These disputes can be used as an excuse to fan the flames of hatred and injustice. However, the slogan of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community, love for all, hatred for none, is the summary of all religions in a nutshell. This slogan unites all peoples and religions into rising above their creeds and views. At a time when a certain segment of the Muslims are putting their lives and lives of others in danger of promoting cruelty and oppression, and even supporting attacking their own people, The role of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community is of utmost importance. Therefore, a conference of this should be promoted on a global level by both ideological and religious communities. Mr. Nigel Garcia is from Hyderabad. He participated in the conference and he is a former mayor. During his reign, despite opposition from Christians, he gave permission for Masjid Basharat to be constructed. At the occasion of the inauguration of Masjid Basharat, he met Hazrat Khalifatul Masih IV, who gave him the gift of a frame with a kalama written, which he has put up in his office. He is quite impressed by the community. He said, for so many delegations and representatives of different religions, members of parliament, political figures, educationalists and intellectuals, members of human rights organizations, to be all gathered together by this Ahmadiyya Muslim community in London so that they can ponder on means of dialogue for unity and establishment of peace. This was an extremely positive step. I extend my congratulations on the occasion of this conference. It is my heartfelt desire that this community prove successful in realizing their objectives. It is something of great honor for me that with the third Khalifa of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community, on the occasion of the foundation stone laying ceremony of Masjid Basharat, Hyderabad, I met him in 1981. I then had the opportunity to meet the fourth Khalifa at the occasion of the inauguration of the same mosque in 1982. Now, in this conference, I have the honor of meeting the fifth Khalifa of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community. I have been greatly enthralled and impressed by the words of Mirza Masroor Ahmed. He spoke of a society free of war and conflict, established on peace. And he has condemned those governments who, in the name of defense, give priority to weapons and military over humanity. I am exuberated by the fact that Mirza Masroor Ahmed, for the establishment of such a society, which is based on justice, mutual respect and reverence, invited people of different religions to come together. We lived in a world that is filled with conflict. Some countries are at the pinnacle of progress, whereas there is a large number of people who are dying of hunger and poverty. On the one hand, we dump immense amounts of food in the sea, and on the other hand, there are millions who have difficulty to feed themselves. While the number of millionaires, on the one hand, is on the increase, on the other hand, there are some segments of society who have become extremely impoverished. The world needs to end all war, and which instead seeks out peace, and which all together in unison moves everyone forward in progress, which stands against injustice, and instead promotes societal justice. So these were just some selected extracts that I have presented. May Allah the Almighty enable for the world to submit and turn towards its Creator, to recognize their Lord and Creator, and only through this we can save the world from falling into the pit of destruction. Indeed, the promised Messiah alayhi salam has warned against this in his writing and literature. Once again today, I would like to request for prayers for the circumstances in Pakistan. May Allah the Almighty save the country from evil-minded people. May Allah the Almighty also safeguard all Ahmadis. And may Allah safeguard all such people who desire peace, who wish to save themselves from this disorder and strife, and are not part of it. Similarly, pray for the situation in Syria. May Allah the Almighty also safeguard Ahmadis there. Very recently, another Ahmadi has been imprisoned without reason. May Allah the Almighty protect all Ahmadis. Generally also, pray for the world in terms of the circumstances that are now emerging. It seems they are rapidly diving into a war. Major powers are not understanding the fact that if a war takes place, a horrific and dreadful situation will develop. The world is standing at the precipice of a war. It is our duty and obligation that we make immense prayer for all people.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, nahmadu wa nasta'inu wa nastaghfiru wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ.